Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is singer-songwriter Doug Levitt, a former foreign journalist who worked out of the Middle East, Africa, and the Balkans. Levitt today is a singer-songwriter inspired by the Depression-era artistic initiatives of people like Woody Guthrie, Dorothea Lange, or Marvin Lomax. Since 2005, for the past 10 years, he's clocked over 100,000 miles traveling the country via Greyhound bus. Traveling and singing songs, but also drawing inspiration for songs from his fellow travelers, collecting stories he's heard while traveling the country in endless hours in the bus or waiting for transfers in bus stations. His project is called The Greyhound Diaries, which include an album of photos and stories. You can see more at his website, DougLevitt.com. And he's here in Tulsa to perform tomorrow evening at the Woody Guthrie Archives in a free concert at 7 o'clock. Doug Levitt is my guest today. Doug Levitt, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Would you start by singing a song for us?
Happy to. Thank you.
A 100,000 miles all merging to one. Run into ourselves in this life on the run. But these stretches of life shed down, these stretches of rope, light in the way, they light in the low. And and out of the desert and into the mountains of Tennessee. I didn't know then how these stories spoke to me. I began to see these highway signs. Yeah, it's a tale of so many others just threaded through me. Strangers trading on their ways to be free. Now I see, and out of the desert and into the mountains of Tennessee. I didn't know then how these stories sang to me. I began to see these highway signs. Yeah, they took me all the way through. They led me all the way through. They took me all the way through. They led me all the way through. And out of the desert and into the rain-soaked city streets. I didn't know then how these stories spoke to me. It's how I began to see these highway signs. Yeah, they took me all the way through. They led me all the way through. They led me all the way through.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks for the song. Yeah.
Thank you.
Highway Signs, what was the inspiration for this?
Well, I've been, I set out a little over 10 years ago and have traveled about 100,000 Greyhound miles. And I set out hoping to shed light on others struggling to get by. And what I realized in retrospect is that not only were the stories that I was being told reflecting America and the socioeconomic situation and this crucial time we've been living through, but also, just to add a personal point, were also helping me to come to some level of closure around my dad's death, my dad's suicide. Mm. And so I realized that all of these stories sort of wove together into one picture.
Yeah. Now, that particular song is a part of this ongoing project you have where you've been riding Greyhound buses, hearing stories. And really, in a way, it harkens back to Woody Guthrie and the people in the 1930s that were sort of documenting through writing songs and singing songs what was happening to people in the 1930s. It's the same sort of thing. And where Woody was riding the rails, you're riding the Greyhound bus, which is the transportation of last resort for a lot of people who have to get anywhere across the country if they don't have a car, a working car that can get across the country, and can't afford to fly.
That's exactly right. I mean, I just traveled here to Tulsa from California, and it took 2 days. And what one finds is that the Greyhound really cuts across every demographic in America, almost every demographic, you know, black, white, Latino, Asian, Amish, tradespeople, veterans, the elderly. Every demographic, it turns out, except economic, because what nearly everybody who travels the bus has in common is they can't afford to drive or fly for that matter. And the bus also, as you compare it to, let's say, American Airlines, which has 80 destinations in the country, the bus has 2,200. And so it really is the most geographically diverse form of transportation as well. And so you find that people who are struggling are not only struggling, but they are also coming to a greater sense of self in the process, you often find as well.
So take us back to the beginning of this project. You were a journalist. You became a singer-songwriter at some point. What persuaded you to get on the bus in the first place to start documenting this? And it's become an inspiration for your songs. And you also have had a series of stories that you've written based on the experiences you've had on the bus. But what was the impetus for getting on the bus in the first place?
Well, as you mentioned, Rich, I had been a journalist. I was a London-based foreign correspondent covering mostly conflict zones in the Middle East and the Balkans and Africa. And as one does, you become a singer-songwriter, just your standard career path. And so I set out on a downwardly mobile path, moved back to the States. And what I saw was we began it was the beginning of the wars in Afghanistan and in Iraq, which would turn out to be the two longest wars in American history, waged concurrently by many of the folks who traveled by bus in between tours. And I thought to myself, this is a critical time. It was in the wake of 9/11 as well. And I thought, how can I use my skills to play a part, even a small, some modicum of a role? And I was inspired by WPA-era projects that drew a fuller portrait of America. And so I set out with a 6-week Greyhound pass, which they don't exist anymore. But Greyhound actually is owned by a British company, believe it or not, at this point. But
that doesn't surprise me at all for some reason.
And so I set out without much of a plan, planning to sing songs in different venues and along the way to write stories and songs about folks struggling.
Did it start out as maybe a journalistic sidebar to your singing career? And what you found was this was a great source of inspiration?
Or? That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. I sort of thought this is a way to use my skill set. And then what I realized was that actually these individual stories that I was hearing were just not only stunning and moving, but they fueled the journey along the way. They made me feel, the more I saw and heard, the more I felt responsible to what I saw and heard. And also, it's a segment of the populace that is not reflected, certainly in today's media environment that is informed so much by social media and memes and people who are already kind of in the conversation, in a sense. And so there's a kind of multiplier effect for people who are already in the conversation, and then things are trending. And, you know, what's trending for people on the bus is that they are receding further and further from people who are, let's say, these days able to feel the, you know, the home, the housing and the stock boom. And so you find a greater disparity these days even.
Of course, when you are riding the bus yourself, you get a sort of an honesty that you might not get to those people in other situations, because by being on the bus, you are in their class in a way, because nobody takes the bus if they don't have to.
That's exactly right. And also you have large distances. And so the trip between two cities in a single state can be as long as a transatlantic flight. Except with meal breaks at Wendy's,
which might be better than the airline food.
Actually, I think it is. And so, and you have stopped through all hours. It's a really, as a means of travel, you might have a transfer at 2 o'clock in the morning in Kansas City or in other transfer points.
So you're sitting around an awful lot, and it's different from an airline where, you know, we all have our own space. You know, I think most people when they get on an airline is, how can I avoid getting into a conversation? You can't avoid it on the bus or on a train, for that matter. It's the same sort of feeling, that sort of rolling sense of seeing the landscape slowly. It sort of leads to conversations.
That's absolutely right. I mean, you really point to something, which is that you have these sort of almost moving murals out the windows and this hypnotic rumble of the wheels beneath you. And people, it's kind of a slow reveal to a story. Oftentimes, I might just want the seat next to me to sleep. Because this has been my form of travel as well. And, you know, and so what you find, though, is that people, maybe it's the anonymity of traveling next to somebody you may never see again. But what I found is that we ultimately, it's not just passing time, we share our stories to know we're not alone. And for many people who travel by bus, it's a perhaps a form of therapy. A rolling form of therapy. and so I found deep connections with people that I've remained in touch with. I'm actually on a journey now to meet up with and track down folks who I connected with in a very significant way along this journey, who, as I mentioned at the beginning, have helped me find some level of closure in my father's death. So you can find friendships that are sort of fomented on these journeys as well.
And you found a lot of stories where it's like people who are absolutely hit rock bottom, some who have hit rock bottom and are at the rock bottom, others who have hit rock bottom and are in the process of recovering. You've had other people that have hit rock bottom two or three times and they told you their story over the time, and some are rebounding. And so it's not necessarily stories of people in decline. It's some have hit the bottom and are coming back, and there's very hopeful stories as well.
That's exactly right. I mean, there is a woman who I met, Sharon, on I-40 in Tennessee, and she told me her story, why she was traveling to Knoxville, having her whole life having been unraveled in her 60s. She had raised her two daughters alone in Knoxville, bought her house, put her daughters through school, had a good government job, and then in her 60s, fell into an awful depression that made her essentially a shut-in, and her daughters had moved away. She hadn't seen anybody in a while except for the gardener, and the gardener would ask her, have you tried any medication or drugs? And he said, medication like crack. And she said she never had and she never would. But as the pain got worse, she one day said to him, I don't know how much it costs or anything. And he said, don't worry, I'll fix you right up.
Oh, my gosh.
And she said, with a nervous laugh, he sure did. He fixed me right up. She said, I began to lose everything. And she started hanging around with these folks, hoodlums, the folks who were hanging around her house. She lost her house. And it turns out her daughters saved her, found her a great program where after going through the program, she became a supervisor. And I asked her how this work compared to other work that she had done. And she said, it was more fulfilling, that she never would have imagined that her life would unravel like this in her mid-60s. But she said, I realized I can help others. I'm where I need to be. And, you know, it was the eve before Thanksgiving. We pulled into Knoxville, and she gave her daughters a huge hug, hello. And so you do find people who, through their struggles, find a greater sense of self and purpose in the process.
Yeah. My guest today is Doug Leavitt, a singer-songwriter. He has been riding the Greyhound bus for 10 years and 100,000 miles and been collecting stories, using them as inspirations for his own songs. And he'll be performing tomorrow evening at the Woody Guthrie Archives Theater at 7 o'clock in a free show. He's also doing a couple other, I think at least one other performance around the area at the emergency shelter and some doing other things while he's here in town. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Well, over those 10 years and 100,000 miles, have the stories changed much in that 10 years? Can you see a change in America over those 10 years since you've been riding the bus?
I think one of the most significant changes would have to be the veteran population, because you are talking about the two longest wars in American history waged concurrently, folks who have done multiple tours. And so the people who are dealing with PTSD and as a result oftentimes addiction. There's been a rising epidemic of addiction in the country that you found over this
huge
period.
Huge spike in suicide rates among those
And veterans. A huge spike in suicide rates among the veteran population as well. So the issue is sort of the twin pandemics of mental illness and addiction have been significant. And we've also, this has been a period that has seen the biggest economic cataclysm since the 1930s and a growing disparity in its wake. So you've I would say that the challenges have become more present and significant for so many people who travel by bus during this period.
You know, during the Vietnam War, after the Vietnam War, we had this huge generation of veterans who went through the same thing, and really our care and help for them was inadequate, and you had so many veterans from the Vietnam era that became homeless and went through PTSD, and we really didn't know how to treat it, and I think out of that experience, we said, we won't let this happen with this generation. What is your experience from what you see riding the bus? Are we still making the same mistakes with a lot of these veterans as far as getting them help and treatment they need?
I think so. I mean, I wasn't around during the Vietnam, yeah. After the Vietnam War.
I mean, the
War.
Numbers are smaller compared to Vietnam, but still, we're dropping the ball.
Yeah, I met a guy named Jason who had been in Afghanistan, and his best buddy was killed in a firefight, and he was present for the firefight and lost most of the sight in his eyes, and tried his brother, he called him, had a neck wound, and he tried to staunch the bleeding, which the military said actually suffocated him. What a horrific tale. Yeah. And so his buddy and he had said that when they got back, they would travel to the coast of Oregon and see the Grand Canyon and get a bus pass. And so this guy, Jason, was doing that for them. Mm. But all the while, afflicted with a PTSD that kept him in that firefight forever. You know, but by telling his story, and there were other stories that of folks that he was sharing them with, that it becomes a kind of, while we may not be getting people help through the VA properly necessarily, people are finding ways to seek help in other ways, and sometimes by telling total strangers their stories. And in this particular case, I was not wanting him to feel alone. I told him the story of my father and having found my father as well, and that feeling of I should have saved him. And so these sort of connections are things that I think we're moving in the moment for him, and he's another guy who I'm looking for. You mentioned, just by the way, that I'm doing these other performances at homeless shelters, and I was at the Tulsa County Emergency Shelter last night, and I was given a tour by a wonderful woman named Linda, and she was saying that there are families and women who are there, and they try to get them to find work and help them find work, and there are impediments to that. And I said I would actually make mention of this, but public transportation. There are no buses at night on Sundays, and so or early in the morning if you're asking somebody to go from the emergency shelter and get to a bus stop far away because there are no other means of transportation, that there are impediments to getting back up on your feet that exist.
Yeah, if you miss a bus, you're waiting generally an hour. And if you have to transfer, you're waiting an hour usually between buses from one line to another. Getting across town is via the bus can be a half a day journey.
Exactly right. Yeah. And so, you know, you are able to find a more reflective version of America when you go go to homeless shelters and other folks that might be marginalized populations in other ways.
My guest today is Doug Leavitt, a singer-songwriter who will be appearing at the Woody Guthrie Archives Theater tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock for a free show, performing songs from his Greyhound Diaries, which include his stories as well as songs that he's written that have been inspired by the people and things he's seen 10 years and 100,000 miles riding Greyhound buses around America. Now, you said it started out as sort of, I was thinking, okay, I'm getting from gig to gig and I'm going to use this as a journalistic experience. When did you say, oh, this is an inspiration for my music? Or did that become apparent fairly close to the beginning?
I think it really close to the beginning because I sort of thought it was sort of an all hands on deck approach to whatever. If something found its way into a written story, then that was the means. Or if it was a song, I was also taking images along the way. So it ended up becoming a kind of multimedia project in a sense, and all of which being fueled by this sense of responsibility of here I'm being told these stories. I was being afforded a view into people's lives that I felt like I had a responsibility to do something with, and oftentimes that found their way into songs.
Did the stories come naturally from people you're sitting, or was this, I assume it's just you're sitting next to somebody and somebody starts opening up and starts talking as the miles go by?
Yeah, and oftentimes you might not necessarily even talk at the beginning because you know that this is going to be a long ride, and if you're going to start a conversation, how do you really end a conversation? And so people can tend to keep to themselves. But once people start talking, I think that I have a curiosity as well that perhaps draws some stories out that that other folks may not necessarily share in general. But yeah, I would say that over time, it's like a slow reveal to a story because you have these stops. And so you might get segments of individual lives along the way that kind of peel back further and further into individuals' existences.
For a lot of Americans, the whole bus culture is utterly, you know, outside of the Northeast, where buses are an accepted form of transportation, it's an alien culture completely. And I think there's a lot of fear and trepidation, about a bus station. What have you learned about this whole way that a good portion of our population gets around the country through?
You find it really is a patriotic endeavor, I have found, because I have found that actually this patchwork of America and individuals shows you the diversity of the American experience, but also the power of a collective that transcends race, transcends religion, transcends ethnicity, all other aspects, and amazingly, because I would say that having even been to conflict zones, I was probably a little bit more scared to travel by Greyhound at the beginning than maybe going to Rwanda or something. I mean, I know that sounds really strange, but because it is a little bit foreign, and, you know, I was fortunate enough to grow up, you know, middle class or upper middle class. And but what I have found is, you know, also on the bus, you have a lot of people who are getting out of prison. We have released each year in the United States 650,000 people, and according to one study by Pew, 2/3 of whom will be rearrested within 3 years. And so it's a window into mass incarceration as well. And I would say that having traveled these extended journeys over this 10-year period, I have never seen any violence. I have never seen any crime. I've never seen any altercations. People are traveling peaceably together. That says something wonderful about America. And so I would find that my own love of country is underscored throughout. And also the dedication of people who are fighting on our behalf constantly reminds me of the power of the American idea and collective grace of our people.
And when you go to your website, you see all these wonderful photographs and you get a sense of the cross-section of people. And, you know, you might be a Mennonite farmer who can't drive himself, but he's got to get across the country. And how do you get there? Okay, you ride a bus because you're not actually doing the driving yourself. I mean, it's all sorts of things like that. It's really interesting, you know, the cross-section of America that most people don't see.
And it's a level of poverty that, you know, when you travel by Greyhound, it's almost like there's a tint of harder living, almost like a filter you put on a lens. And it's a timeless poverty. It does remind one of images of the migrant mother photo taken by Dorothea Lange, or you find that there is a level of poverty that is shocking at the same time.
You know, I'm struck by something I think I either read or it's a lyric in one of your songs, and you said it was something, it's like a version of the thousand-yard stare, which we think of military veterans, you know, people who've been through combat. You said you see a lot of that sort of unfocused staring in bus stations around the country.
Exactly.
Just like the Dorothea Lange picture you referenced.
Right. And I have, with images, been inspired by kind of, let's say, Robert Frank or others who've used surreptitious photography to capture real moments of people in repose and people who are trying to sort out the next steps of their lives, the bus being an in-between. And oftentimes you have people who have $60 to their name and are traveling to Jacksonville from Pennsylvania because the work had dried up for roofing. And so a guy who had his tools in, at his feet, but he himself said, you know, he was inspired by his father who taught him the love of adventure. And he said, you know, I'd rather have nothing than to love the things that you do have, and that loss taught him to love the things that he did have, and that included his own skill set and his tools. And he was traveling south with very little, but also a great deal within.
All right. Well, we wish you great success in your travels and your music. There's an album out, right?
Yes, there is.
Greyhound Diaries. You can hear the music tomorrow at the Woody Guthrie Theater at 7 o'clock, a free show with Doug Lovett. Doug, thanks very much for joining
us. Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
Singer-songwriter Doug Lovett speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. His 10-year, 100,000-mile via Greyhound bus project is titled The Greyhound Diaries, which includes an album, photos, and stories. You can see more at his website, douglovett.com, or you can see him tomorrow evening in a free concert at the Woody Guthrie Archives. It gets underway tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. We're going to leave you with more music by Doug Lovett. Studio Tulsa is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.
I spent the night in Cheyenne, thinking about how the miles make marks on a man. 'Cause I'm a long way from home. I learned to be alone. You gotta have patience with all these waystations. I hauled the heaviest load. More than half of my life on these roads.